Testing in the House chamber, Legislative Aid 26.
Thereafter, Representative John.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord, we ask your blessing on those here this morning, on those who will be joining us this afternoon. And as our work and discussions continue during this session, we ask that the love of your Son be with all members of this chamber and his peace surround them. That we all seek to open our hearts and our minds and to set aside differences and be rededicated to serving the best interest of the citizens of this great state to the ultimate of our individual and collective abilities. These things we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Penny, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal from March the 7th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Penny moves the journal for March 7th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the journal is approved. Ratification of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor, Senate Bill 53, an act to clarify that occupants of accommodations provided by hotels, motels, or similar lodgings do not create a tenancy and are not subject to Chapter 42 of the General Statutes, and to clarify that these occupancies are governed by the statutes relating to inns, hotels, and other transient occupancies.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, pursuant to the announcement made yesterday, this morning's session is simply an admin session, and we will be coming back in this afternoon for votes. So at 3 o'clock, we'll be back in for votes. However, we do have a number of committee reports. Chair is going to move the introduction of bills and resolutions to be done during the recess. But Representatives Bradford, Kidwell, Setzer, Ray, Howard, Ross, and Tyson are recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Finance Committee report, House Bill 69, Warren County Occupancy Tax, favorable and re-referred.
Bill is re-referred to rules.
House Bill 78, Town of Oak Island Parking Proceeds, favorable and re-referred.
Re-referred to rules.
House Bill 80, St. James Occupancy Tax Authorization, favorable and re-referred.
Re-referred to rules.
House Bill 81, Increase Halifax County Board of Education Compensation, favorable and re-referred.
Re-referred to rules. Representative Blackwell, recognized in fourth committee report. Clerk will read.
Judiciary 3 Committee Report, House Bill 101, the Firearms Liberty Act, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred.
So, Mr. Clerk, based on the changes that occurred in committee, that bill needs to be referred to the Committee on Finance, then if favorable, rules thereafter. Any notices or announcements before we put the House in recess? Okay. Seeing nothing further before the body, the chair is going to declare the House stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulations of Rule 15.1, until 3 p.m. this afternoon.
Introduction bills and resolutions. House Bill 287, Sasser, Kristen Baker, White, and Potts, Educate Patients About Opioid Antagonists, referred to health of favorable rules. House Bill 288, John and Clampett, remove fee, fire department, and rescue squad plate, referred to finance of favorable rules. House Bill 289, Harrison, Morey, Autry, and Price, Gun Violence Prevention Act, referred to rules. House Bill 290, Ross, Bell, Ray, and Dixon, protecting NC's military and working lands, referred to military and veterans affairs, of favorable finance, of favorable rules. House Bill 291, Ball, Brody, Goodwin, and Pierce, NC New Teacher Support Program Funds, referred to appropriations of favorable rules. House Bill 292, Elmer Hardister Cotham, Math That Counts, referred to education in K-12, of favorable rules. House Bill 293, Boynsey, Dahl, Ball, and Morey, Freedom to Vote, referred to rules. House Bill 294, Alston, Gloria Steen Brown, and Hardister, NC Housing Choice Initiative, Incentive, referred to appropriations of favorable rules. House Bill 295, Gillespie, Sasser, Brody, and Green, promote North Carolina sawmills, referred to regulatory reform of favorable Judiciary 1, if favorable rules. House Bill 296, Clampett, adopt Veterans History Museum, referred to state government of favorable rules. House Bill 297, Davis, funds for Fort Fisher historic sites, referred to appropriations of favorable rules. House Bill 298, plus criminal falsification of medical records, referred to Judiciary 2 if favorable rules. House Bill 299, Penny and Wheatley, perpetual care of certain cemeteries, referred to state government of favorable finance of favorable rules. House Bill 300, Pirtle, Rockingham County public notices, referred to local government of favorable finance of favorable rules. And House Bill 301, Faircloth, Hardister, Lambeth, and Kyle Hall, modify film grant, referred to commerce of favorable rules. Representative Destin Hall is recognized to send forth rules, counter, and operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 8, Computer Science Graduation Requirement, favorable. House Bill 836B. House Bill 69, Warren County Occupancy Tax, favorable. House Bill 69, Calendar 36B. House Bill 78, Town of Oak Island Parking Proceeds, favorable. House Bill 78, Calendar 36B. House Bill 80, St. James Occupancy Tax Authorization, favorable. House Bill 80, Calendar 36B. House Bill 81, Increase Halifax County Board of Education Compensation, favorable. House Bill 81, Calendar 36B. Senate Bill 52, Open Meetings Administering Organizations, favorable. Senate Bill 52, Calendar 36B. And Senate Bill 115, Repurposed R.J. Blackley Center as Psychiatric Hospital, favorable. And Senate Bill 115, Calendar 36B. Send forth Judiciary 1 committee report. House Bill 142, Protect Our Students Act, which is an agency bill, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 142, referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirement. House Bill 144, GSC Uniform Public Expression Protection Act, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 144, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House.
The House will come to back to order. Members, about to add the bills that were read in earlier from committee. So if anybody wants to object, speak up. But these are bills that all came through. All right, first bill is going to be House Bill 8, and that short title is Computer Science Graduation Requirement. Add to the calendar. House Bill 69, this is the Warren County Occupancy Tax. That bill's added to the calendar. House Bill 78, the Town of Oak Island Parking Proceeds. That, too, is added to the calendar. House Bill 80, the St. James Occupancy Tax Authorization. That bill is added to the calendar. House Bill 81, increase the Halifax County Board of Education compensation. That bill is added to the calendar. Senate Bill 52, Open Meetings Administering Organizations. That bill is added to the calendar. Senate Bill 115. Repurpose the R.J. Blackley Center as a psychological hospital. That bill is also added to today's calendar. Before we get underway with the calendar, a couple of special recognitions. We have a group of students here from the Homeschool Kids Group here in Wake County from Apex, a group of students here with us. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? Thanks for being with us here today. Also, on motion of the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, the chair is honored to extend the courtesies of the gallery to former Representative Eric Swofford, who was a member of the Tennessee House from 2005 to 2010 and currently is the director of campaigns for Best Friends Animal Society. Representative Swofford, would you please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today, sir. And we also have with us an honorary page today, Delaney Winslow, who also happens to be the daughter of Representative Winslow. Delaney, good to have you with us today as well. Calendar, House Bill 66, the corporal reading.
Representatives Adams and Setzer, House Bill 66, a bill to be entitled Catawba Newton Conover Hickory Board of Education Election, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
These are third read. This bill, I believe, no, it's a second reading as well. Any discussion or debate on the bill? The gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, recognize, debate the bill.
Yes, this bill simply makes the Board of Elections, school board races in Catawba County, all three schools, Newton Conover, Hickory City, and Catawba County, partisan races, and has them occur on even-numbered years.
Further discussion, further debate, if not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 66 on its second reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 66, having passed second reading, will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 66 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes have it. House Bill 66, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 99, corporal reading.
Representative Paré, House Bill 99, a bill to be entitled Wake County Board of Commissioners Elections, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Wake, Representative Paré, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a local bill for Wake County, and it makes changes to the election process for the Wake County Board of Commissioners. Wake County is now larger than eight states with a population of nearly 1.2 million people. 55% of the electorate resides in Raleigh and Cary. The purpose of these changes is to strengthen representation on the board for the more suburban and rural communities around the county. Right now, what we have in Wake is residency districts where a commissioner is required to live in one of the seven districts but is elected at large countywide. So beginning in 2024, this bill will require that members of the Wake County Board of Commissioners be elected from electoral districts rather than residency districts using the districts adopted by the board on November 1st, 2021. Then beginning in 2026, this bill will increase the size of the board to 9 members by adding 2 members elected from the county at large to serve staggered 4-year terms. This compromise bill mirrors my first proposal to the Wake Board of Commissioners and the Wake House delegation from last June. This bill will align Wake with other large counties, Mecklenburg, Guilford, Forsyth, Cumberland, etc. This is good for the people of Wake, and it's the right thing to do. I ask for your vote and support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 99 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Ager, gentlemen wish to vote on the bill? Clerk lock machine record the vote. 117 have a vote in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 99 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 99 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 99, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 174, clerk will read.
Representative Lambeth, House Bill 174, a bill to be entitled Winston-Salem Forsyth Board of Education Rural Hall Even Year. The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Lambeth, would you all prefer to do the amendment first, or would you like to debate the bill first? Representative Hall is recognized. Send forth amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Kyle Hall moves to amend the bill.
Representative Hall, gentlemen, is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is a friendly amendment. Part of the bill has to do with moving the Town of Rural Hall's elections to from odd number years to even number years. Part one of this amendment is purely technical from staff, and the second part is at the request of the town to delay the start of primaries to 2026. Right now it's in here as 2023. I appreciate your support.
Is this on the amendment, Representative Lambeth?
The bill.
Okay, let's take up the amendment first. Those in favor of the adoption of the amendment sent forward by Representative Hall, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Lambeth has the floor to debate the bill.
The other part of this bill is fairly straightforward. Winston-Salem-Forsyth County School Board is one of only three school districts in the state out of 115 that do not have staggered terms. They're all elected at one time. This actually does not impact anyone that's currently on the board or elected. It would only move them to a staggered term in the 26th election, which is the next scheduled election for school board in South County. The top voters getters would get four, the next would get two, and then that all revert back to a four-year term going forward after that.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage. House Bill 174 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 174, having passed second reading, without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 174 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 174, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 87, the clerk will read.
Representatives Neal, Jackson, Stevens, Carson, Smith, and Biggs, House Bill 87, a bill to be entitled DMA Petition for Probation Modifications, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Biggs, Representative Jackson, would you like to debate the bill first of all, and then we can take the amendment up next, or is there a preference the gentleman has? Chairs. All right, Representative Biggs, Chair's going to go ahead and let you send forth your amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Biggs moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move at this time to amend the bill on page 1, line 6, by rewriting the line to read, District Attorney may file petition based on the violation of the condition of the probation, the District Attorney of the Prosecutorial District.
Any further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, actually, we'll take that. For what purpose, the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice.
Thank you. To speak on the amendment.
The lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
I just want to say how much I appreciate working with Representative Jackson, Representative Biggs on doing this amendment, and I hope my support for it won't turn you all against it. It is a good amendment, so I encourage your support. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment 1. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Clerk of the lock machine recorded the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on the bill as amended. Do any members wish to debate the bill as amended? Representative Jackson, gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
This is a bill for method for the district attorney when there is an allegation of violation of condition of parole to put the case back in front of the sentencing court when the defendant no longer resides or is supervised in the sentencing county.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 87 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Baker, does the lady wish to be recorded on this? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 87 having passed its second reading without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 87 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Then you have the chair, the ayes have it. House Bill 87 having passed its third reading will be ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Joint Resolution 151. Clerk will read.
Representative Moore, Lowry, Fontenot, and Chester, House Joint Resolution 151, a resolution to be entitled Term Limits for Congress. The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
The gentleman from Cleveland, Speaker Moore, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate this. Members, this is a bill. We passed this last year. It passed the House. It was not taken up in the Senate, but I'm a little more optimistic this year. What this bill does is it would call for a convention of states for the purpose of adopting term limits to the United States Congress pursuant to Article 5 of our U.S. Constitution. If you look at a lot of the problems that plague Washington, a lot of it is from folks who've simply been there too long, frankly, on both sides of the aisle. And you know, folks wonder why there's never change, why something doesn't get any better, regardless of who's in charge there. You look at deficit spending, you look at excess taxation, you look at overregulation, you look at overintrusion, look at absolutely irresponsible budgeting that has happened at the federal level. And you see what's happening there, and it's the fact that I would say there's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is that you have folks who are simply long-term career politicians who are serving in Congress as their full-time vocation. One of the questions and one of the interesting comparisons is to compare that with the state legislature. The state legislature, as those of you in this room either know or certainly should know, is a part-time job. It's a job that pays about $14,000 a year. There may be some who can earn a living on that. If you can, you are very good budgeting. I will say that. But for most of us, folks are either have another job or they're retired or otherwise so that they can do this. You contrast that with Congress, though, which is, in fact, a full-time vocation, where, in fact, you're not allowed to engage in an occupation to earn outside active income. So you kind of have that very key difference between, say, a General Assembly, a legislature, and the United States Congress. But just long-term career politicians, again, on both sides of the aisle, nothing seems to change. A great deal of frustration. Well, if you go back to the history of our great nation and how we reformed when the Constitution was adopted, it was put together through a constitutional convention made up of state legislators from the states that existed at that time. One of the things they knew they had to have was a mechanism where the states could hold the federal government accountable if it ever just got out of hand and out of control. If we don't see that today, I don't know when we've seen it. But they could rein that in. Article 5 was that tool, where if you had two-thirds of the states who petitioned to call a convention of states, that convention would be held, that delegates appointed by the states, in this case for a particular purpose, adoption of term limits, would propose language that would rein in the federal government. You know, Congress has shown it's not going to do it voluntarily. Any initiatives that have been looked at by states to limit or regulate their state members, or the state delegation from Congress from their state have been stricken down as violating the U.S. Constitution. So it's the only way to do it, absent Congress adopting legislation. But you go through a situation where you have two-thirds of the states to vote to call the convention. So the convention gets called. The delegates meet, they have a convention, then they approve language. For that to come into effect, three-fourths of the states would then have to adopt that. It's a huge burden.
It's a big barrier. It's going to be a long-term thing. If we adopt this in North Carolina, you're still talking about several years before something will happen. But it's a slow, methodical process that our framers designed in our U.S. Constitution. But it's the one thing that we can do as state legislators and as a state legislature to try to rein in a federal government. It is something that is that I think needs to be done. It is something that I hope receives broad bipartisan support on this chamber, because if you poll it, if you ask the people of the state, by a broad bipartisan basis, the people of the state support this. They believe that long-term, you know, career politicians and federal office is not a good thing. You know, this is one step of several that probably ought to be taken to address some of the issues with our federal government, but this is one thing that we can do as a North Carolina legislature, and I would urge the body's support. I'll be glad to take questions if there are any.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
To ask the speaker a question.
Speaker Moore, does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you so much. Two questions. On the record, do you think that the Speaker of the House should have a limit?
Yes.
Thank you. Next question. Do you think the legislators should have a limit?
State legislatures?
No. Yes.
And I'll tell you why.
Thank you.
The key difference I would say on that, Representative Cunningham, is the fact that we're a part-time body. That as a part-time legislative body, that we are, if someone makes a career out of this, even if they're speaker, it's not a good career move. Let me just be very clear. It is definitely a pay cut in about anything you can imagine. But we're close enough to our districts. You know, we're part-time, although we are here a lot, but we are a part-time legislature. You know, we're here, hopefully we're going to get done in June of this year and actually get to go home before July 4th, probably come back for some special sessions. But we're back home in our communities. Think about it, Congress is full-time. That is a member's full-time vocation that they do. That is their job. And so they're just there all the time. You know, turn on C-SPAN in the middle of the night. Somebody's probably talking, right? You can compare that with us, with the state legislature, and it is uniquely different in that respect.
Further discussion or debate? For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Moore, arise?
To ask the speaker a question.
Does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, how many terms do you think there should be allowed before there's a limit?
I have not opined on that, Representative Moore. I think that would be something that would come as a result of the convention. And so I don't go into it with a predetermination that it should be X number of years here, X number of years there. So I don't approach it in that way. There are folks who talk about, you know, 12 years maximum. There's some that have a variance of opinions. But all this does is call the convention to at least have it. But this doesn't answer your question, but I meant to say one thing earlier about this issue. What do you think would happen? And I'll pose this as a hypothetical, or the member can actually answer it back as a question. A hypothetical, if enough of the states were getting very close to adopting this term limits thing, what do you think the U.S. Congress would do to avoid a convention being called? I would submit to you they'd probably adopt a term limits proposal and put it into law. I would think they might do that. You might agree with my opinion on that, but I would submit to you that's probably what would happen in that case if it did. But as far as the right number, I don't take a position on what that is. I think that's something for folks to deal with, and I would submit to you by the time that if this comes to fruition and there's a convention of states, I doubt I would have already limited myself as to how long I'm going to be here, so I would not be a part of the discussion at that point.
Thank you. Just a comment, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies, recognize to debate the joint resolution.
I appreciate your hypothetical, Mr. Speaker, and I think that's a great solution. Let Congress decide by statute. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 151 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Willis, Representative Staten Williams, members wish to be recorded. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 70 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. House Joint Resolution 151 having passed its second reading without objection will be read a third time.
The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
Question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 151 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Any of the chair? The ayes have it. The ayes do have it. House Joint Resolution 151, having passed its third reading, will be ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 153, the clerk will read.
Representatives Gillespie, Clampett, Brendan Jones, and Lowry, House Bill 153, a bill to be entitled Use Tribal ID for Alcohol and Tobacco Purchases, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Macon, Representative Gillespie is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is a pretty clean bill. It makes way for state and federal recognized tribes to use their tribal ID to purchase alcohol and tobacco products. I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion or debate? For what purpose is the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
I have just one question.
For Representative Gillespie?
Yes.
Does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Gillespie. The age is still the same for purchase?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Swain, Representative Clampett, arise?
Second on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Very briefly, the Quala boundary, the Cherokee Indian tribe is in support of this bill. I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 153 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House Committee Substitute to House Bill 153 has passed its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The question for the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 153 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 153, having passed its third reading, will be ordered sent to the Senate. House Joint Resolution 235, the clerk will read.
Representatives Riddell, Bell, Hardister, and Sane, House Joint Resolution 235, a joint resolution to be entitled Application for a Convention of the States. The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
The gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, is recognized to debate the joint resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A million seconds ago was about February 24th or 25th. A million seconds. A billion seconds ago was 32 years ago. A trillion seconds ago was 32,000 years. Our current national debt is approaching $32 trillion. There is no plan how to pay it off. There is no reserve. There is no means. If you include off-budget items that are unfunded mandates in the future, we have over a $100 trillion debt. And again, there is no plan, there's no reserves, there's no funds from which to draw to pay that off. That just highlights one of the several problems that this joint resolution seeks to remedy. Section 1 of the resolution reads as follows: The legislature of the state of North Carolina hereby applies to Congress, under the provisions of Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States, for the calling of a convention of the states limited to proposing amendments to the United States Constitution that will impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and limit the terms of office for its officials and for its members of Congress. The Speaker gave a very good explanation of how Article 5 works. I just want to highlight one point for you. While it's called a convention of states, I would ask you to think of it more like an intervention of the states. The federal government is addicted to deficit spending, and again, there is no plan anywhere. It is a bipartisan problem, and there is no solution proposed currently. If you have in your family or have had in your family the tragedy of a drug addicted individual, you know how hard it is to get them off of that drug. And you have to, as a family, if you love that individual, if you care for that person, you have to do an intervention in your family. The federal government gives no signs of actually restraining itself. So it's up to us. In the Constitution, as originally written, was this part of Article 5 to allow us, as state legislatures, to insist on proper behavior of our national government. That's what this does. So I hope you'll vote green. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, arise?
To debate the resolution.
The gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I just want to briefly explain why I support this bill and why I'm a sponsor of this bill. In North Carolina, our state constitution requires us to balance the state budget. And it's worked very well for us here. Unfortunately, the federal government has not done the same. And I'll direct your attention, if you're so inclined, to the U.S. debt clock. If you want to look at your device, the website is usdebtclock.org. You can see there that the national deficit is over $31 trillion. The debt per citizen is over $94,000. The debt per taxpayer is over $246,000. Deficit spending is increasing. And then the trend line is alarming. In 1960, the U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio was 53%. In 1980, it's 35%. In 2000, it's 59%. And today it's 120%, and there's no abatement in sight. What was it that Einstein said? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is insanity. And I think that's kind of where we are now. The Committee for a Responsible Budget is a bipartisan organization, and they've come together, Republicans and Democrats, and they've looked at the current trajectory, and they've detailed why it's alarming, why something needs to be done about it. And I'm going to read some of that to you. Number one, it threatens economic vitality. The recent surge in deficit spending has contributed to rapid near-term inflation and over time will result in higher interest rates, slower economic and income growth, and a small but increased risk of financial crisis. Number two, it places a strain on the budget. The federal government currently spends as much on interest payments as it does on most of our safety net programs combined. And interest is projected to become the largest government expenditure within the next 30 years. As interest and mandatory spending dominate a greater share of the budget, our government's ability to invest in new priorities will be limited. Number three, it creates geopolitical challenges. With large portions of our debt held by foreign investors, a substantial share of our national income goes abroad. We are consequently left with fewer financial tools to manage conflicts with other countries when they have increased leverage over our country. Another point that they cited is that it makes responding to new emergencies more challenging. High deficits and debt, particularly if coupled with high inflation or interest rates, make it hard to borrow in response to recession, pandemic, war, or other legitimate emergency. And perhaps the most important reason that this is a real problem is what it's doing to future generations. I mean, you think about the children of today, and we're saddling them with this burden. It's just simply not sustainable. And so that's the number one reason why I support this bill, and I appreciate Representative Dennis Riddell for his steadfast support for this. I think something's got to be done. In fact, I know something has to be done. I think we all know that. But if you look at what the federal government has been doing and what Congress has been doing, they're not solving the problem. And I would submit that members of both parties are blamed. We've had Democratic majorities, we've had Republican majorities of Democratic presidents, we've had Republican presidents, and this trend continues. An Article 5 convention states, as Representative Riddell discussed, it's a perfect way for the states to step up and take control of the situation. And I know there's some concern. Some people have talked about potential of a runaway convention. I really don't see how that's possible. I'm going to tell you why. Number one, we can prescribe to delegates what they can and cannot do when they get there. And number two, whatever they come up with has to be ratified by 38 states. And at the end of the day, this country, United States of America, we're only as good as our people. We're only as good as the states. I submit to you that this country's not going to tear apart the Constitution or do anything that's going to be antithetical to our Constitution, because whatever we come up with is going to be a positive outcome for this country, because it's going to have to be ratified by 38 states. I think that's a very thorough and safe procedure that we can trust. That's why I support this. I also support the term limits for Congress as well. I voted for that. But if you're concerned about the debt, if you're concerned about the deficit, I would ask you to ask yourself a question. Do you really think that Congress is going to do something about it? If the answer is no, and I believe the answer is no, then I would urge you to vote in favor of this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I guess the largest reason we rise to speak on bills is to sway votes one way or the other, and try and get our points across and hopefully get the outcome we desire. So with that, I'm going to turn to my friends on the other side of the aisle and just let you know that generally the way this is going to happen, the concept is, because the Constitution doesn't specifically lay it out, is that the state's General Assembly would appoint the people who go to represent the states. And with that said, I want to give you this message. I will make sure I do everything I can to run for that position to go and represent the state of North Carolina. And if that doesn't sway your vote on the other side of the aisle, I don't think anything will.
Further discussion or debate? How could there be? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 235 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Spray, Representative Shepherd. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative and 55 in the negative. House Joint Resolution 235 having passed its second reading without objection will be read a third time.
House resolves, the Senate concurring.
Question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 235 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Chair, the ayes have it, and House Joint Resolution 235 having passed its third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 8, Clerk will read.
Representatives Paré, Torbett, Blackwell, and Hardister, House Bill 8, a bill to be entitled Computer Science Graduation Requirement, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The lady from Wake, Representative Paré, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill before you will require instruction in computer science and the completion of a computer science course for graduation from high school. So we're talking about an introductory computer science elective course in middle school and then a high school course that you would have to pass for graduation from high school. 70% of future jobs in the next 10 years will require a baseline knowledge in computer science. And it's just not in IT field. That's cross sectors like healthcare and manufacturing. So this really hasn't been a matter of if we should do this. This really is a matter of how best to implement this. So I appreciate the work of my fellow primary sponsors, Representative Torbett, Representative Blackwell, and Representative Hardister, and the valuable input from Representative Gill and DPI for working to make this bill that's before you today a great product. So to do this, the State Board of Education shall not increase the current number of required credits for graduation, but shall instead decrease the number of elective credits by one. Happy to answer any questions. Please vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute Number 2 to House Bill 8 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Thank you. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Bell, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. House Committee Substitute Number 2 to House Bill 8 having passed its second reading without objection to be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute Number 2 to House Bill 8 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the House Committee Substitute Number 2 to House Bill 8 having passed its third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 69, the clerk will read.
Representative Ray, House Bill 69, a bill to be entitled Warren County Occupancy Tax, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Northampton, Representative Ray, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. This is a local bill that's requested by Warren County to levy up to 5% for occupancy tax. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 69 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Staten Williams, the lady wishes to be recorded. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and 7 in the negative. House Bill 69 has passed its second reading and will remain on the calendar. House Bill 78, clerk will read.
Representative Miller, House Bill 78, a bill to be entitled Town of Oak Island Parking Proceeds, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Miller is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a local bill at the request of the Town of Oak Island to use proceeds from any on-street parking in the same manner in which proceeds from off-street parking facilities are used. I would appreciate your support.
What purpose is the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, arise?
To debate the bill, please.
Ladies recognized.
We had a conversation in committee about this, and the representative knows I supported him on the bill, but I want to make the body aware that historically these parking fees have been used in various municipalities. They've been limited to the parking, the maintenance of the meters and the collection and the go-karts that pick up the dollars and all that sort of thing. And so municipalities have never had a real great incentive to keep raising these fees and using those dollars for other purposes. And what we're seeing on some of our beach communities is that if you carve that out and allow parking to be used for fees to be used for any purpose, they've been used to offset ad valorem taxes, for example, and to pay for things that really aren't fair. And my concern is that, you know, our North Carolina beaches are public beaches. And if you raise the parking fees so high that firemen and teachers and police officers can't enjoy our beaches, some of those parking fees on a daily basis are $25, $30, and that's prohibitive for many people. So I'm going to support the bill. I defer to my delegation member on this particular instance, but I think this is something we've got to be really careful about moving forward because those revenues could be used for not so kosher purposes. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 78 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Reeves, how does the gentleman want to be recorded? Looks like aye. Reeves, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative. House Bill 78 has passed its second reading and will remain on the calendar. House Bill 80, the clerk will read.
Representative Miller, House Bill 80, a bill to be entitled St. James Occupancy Tax Authorization, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Miller, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is another local bill at a request of the town of St. James to be able to levy an occupancy tax up to 5%. I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 80 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye.
Reeves, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. House Bill 80 has passed its second reading and will remain on the calendar. House Bill 81, the clerk will read.
Representative Ray, House Bill 81, a bill to be entitled Increase Halifax County Board of Education Compensation, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Northampton, Representative Ray, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. It's a local bill supported by the local county commissioners and local school board, and it gives them authority, and it's by majority. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of the House Committee substitute to House Bill 81 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Moore, aye. Reeves, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. The House Committee substitute, House Bill 81, having passed its second reading without objection, will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of the House Committee substitute, House Bill 81, on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Many of chair, the ayes have, the ayes do have it. House Committee substitute, House Bill 81, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, the House will be at ease momentarily to discuss some scheduling matters. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote on House Joint Resolution 151 from aye to no.
That's my bill. Why would you want to do that? The gentleman will be recorded as no.
I love you, sir.
Members, I was just consulting with the majority leader, the minority leader, and the rules chairman. There were several bills that passed. We still have two other bills left on today's calendar to deal with, but there were a couple bills that passed the second reading that are roll call that would have third reading tomorrow. But given that it has, we've already been here in business all week since Monday, chair's inclined to have no recorded votes tomorrow so that we can let all that roll over to next week. Anybody want to object to that, by the way? I didn't think so. So that's what we're going to do. So, Mr. Clerk, those bills that were the second reading roll calls, the need third, the chair would direct that those be calendared for Wednesday of next week at this time. Strike that. Those will be calendared for Tuesday of next week. It'll be Tuesday afternoon. Strike that. The chair was right the first time. Wednesday of next week. So Tuesday will be, for planning purposes, members, again, we're not done yet, so don't anybody pack up. But if next week looks like Tuesday's going to be a committee day, maybe a very busy committee day, and then we'll have bills calendared for Wednesday and likely Thursday of next week. So, Members, there's some consultation happening about one of our bills. There is one, however, the chair believes may be non-controversial. So we'll go ahead and try that one first. Senate Bill 115, clerk will read.
Senators Kravick, Bergen, and Corbin, Senate Bill 115, a bill to be entitled Repurposed R.J. Blackley Center as a Psychiatric Hospital, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a bill that's we are in dire need of adolescent psychiatric beds. This is 50 of them for the Blackley Center. And if it's passed today and sent on to the governor, they'll likely be open by the end of the summer, and it'll speed the process up greatly, and I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate, not for question before the House. Passage of Senate Bill 115 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Reeves aye, Bell aye, Shepherd aye, Hall aye. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 115 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House. Passage of Senate Bill 115 on third reading. Those in favor? Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 115 having passed third reading. The bill will be sent to the Senate. It will be enrolled and sent to the governor. We're going to take about a 15-minute recess. I believe the Democratic caucus wishes to caucus. So Representative Reeves recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats 1425 immediately upon recess.
Any notices or announcements this time? Actually, the chair is aware there may be a few matters folks want to go ahead and get on the record. So there'll be no further votes until 4:20 this afternoon, though. For what purpose, the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, rise?
For announcement.
The gentleman's recognized for an announcement.
House Health Chairs will meet for HHS appropriations 15 minutes after session, sir.
Yeah. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Crutchfield, rise?
Point of personal privilege, sir.
Okay, just a moment. Let me just say, Representative Reeves, if Democrats want to caucus now, it's fine. We are not going to take any votes until 4:20 or until you get back from caucus. So we do have a few administrative matters. Gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Crutchfield is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon the adjournment and spread across the journal and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
On February 22nd, we lost an amazing mentor, dedicated husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. James W. Skiles, age 93, who I've come to know as Big Jim. He enlisted in the Army upon graduation from high school and was sent to serve and fight in the Korean War. He was a member of the 2nd Infantry Division. Jim earned a Silver Star and was promoted to Sergeant First Class and later became a drill instructor. During his tenure in the war, he saved many American lives with his selfless courage. After his service, he studied and graduated from Temple University and became an electrical engineer for IBM, retiring after 35 years. Jim worked on the instrumentation panel of the guidance control system that sent the first astronaut to the moon. Jim was a lifelong farmer, owning a farm in Pulaski, Tennessee, where he raised cattle on his 220-acre spread, relocating to his hometown of Pennsylvania later as a grape farmer. He would always go above and beyond to make sure those around him could be the best they could be. Whether it was lending an extra hand on the farm or providing guidance on life's toughest moments, Big Jim was always there. He served as an example of dedication, hard work, and honor. Big Jim ran his last of many marathons at age 86. He was an inspiration to me from the day I was born. He never once discouraged me, always encouraged me. He was my second dad. I'm standing here today in this position as a result of his guidance and care. Leaving behind his loving wife of 70 years, Ray Skiles, and their 3 grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, and many friends. Please join me in celebrating the life and contributions of First Sergeant James W. Skiles, always in the hearts of all who knew him.
Thank you for sharing that, Representative Crutchfield. And the representative statement will be spread upon the journal and read its entirety upon the adjournment. We appreciate you informing the body of that, Representative Crutchfield. For what purpose, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Mr. Speaker, for an announcement.
The gentleman has four.
Yeah, also,
The House Education Appropriations will meet 15 minutes after session. We got a little bit off since we're after 3 o'clock, okay. So 15 minutes after session.
May need to renotice those when everyone's back as well. So, and I think there may be some other points of personal privilege. It may be appropriate just to wait and let those happen when everybody comes back up as well. So anything other for the good of the body at this time? Seeing none, the chair is going to put the House at ease until 4:20. The House will come back to order. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs Senate Bill 52 be returned, be sent to the Committee on Education. If favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations be removed from today's calendar. Bill is referred to the Committee on Education, K-12. If favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Members, we have concluded our votes and our business for the day. We will now open up to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
For a speaker, Mr. For a question, Mr. Speaker.
Just a minute, sir. Let me. House, please come back to order. Gentleman's recognized.
What was the bill that you just moved?
Senate Bill 52, removed it from the calendar, sent to the Committee on Education, did so at the request of the bill's sponsor. For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Prather, rise?
For a representative statement.
The lady is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read in its entirety upon adjournment. It will be spread across the journal also, and the lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess even though you just said that, I still say this part. Having submitted a representative statement.
At this point, I'll use this as an instruction. At this point, since I've already granted that request because I knew you were going to ask it, you're recognized to speak to whatever personal remarks the lady would like to make about the matter.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I'm not going to read the whole statement. Y'all will read it in the journal. But I'm here to speak about UNC Asheville. So one of the things, of which I'm a proud alumna, class of 2010, one of the things that a lot of people across the state don't know about UNC Asheville is that we do have a Division I men's basketball team. And UNC Asheville Bulldogs were the first North Carolina team this year to make it into the NCAA tournament. They beat the Campbell Camels on Sunday. I was there, got to cheer them on courtside, was super excited. They are members of the Big South Conference, and this year our senior forward Drew Pember and our head coach Mike Morrell were both voted Big South Conference Men's Basketball Player of the Year and Coach of the Year, respectively. This is their fifth time in the NCAA tournament. They haven't been there since 2013, I believe. So we are all very excited to cheer them on. So go Bulldogs, and thank you for indulging me.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Reeder, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. I rise to recognize a longtime friend of East Carolina University, Mr. Michael Terrence Terry Holland, who died February 26th of 2023. A member of the Davidson basketball team, his life was dedicated to college athletics. After coaching at Davidson for 5 years, he became head basketball coach of the University of Virginia for 16 years. He was there for two Final Four appearances, three ACC titles, and was named ACC Coach of the Year twice. After stints as athletic director at both Davidson and UVA, he found a home at East Carolina University in 2004, serving as an athletic director until 2013. Under his leadership, he helped transform our university and our athletic program with incredible facilities and attention to the success of our student athletes. His work and his contributions have left an indelible mark on ECU and North Carolina. ECU has lost another great friend and supporter, and I ask a moment to pray for him and his family. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Reeder. And also, the gentleman had sent forth a representative statement. The chair is going to direct that be read in its entirety upon the adjournment today and also spread upon the journal. For what purpose does the gentleman from Nash, Representative Chester, rise?
Point of personal privilege, Mr.
The gentleman
Speaker.
Has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just ask that my colleagues join me in wishing my youngest son, Titus, a happy fourth birthday today. And thank you guys for getting this stuff done so I can get home and have dinner with him.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Points of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized.
I am calling everyone to recognize Anita Wilder, my legislative assistant. She has been with the General Assembly for 23 years, and today is her last day. She will be retiring. She is moving to Florida to care for her mom, who is in her 90s, is having health challenges, and we will miss her dearly. She served from 2000 to 2018 with Representative Mashaw, my predecessor, and for the last 5 years with me. And so just asking everyone to thank her for her service, and if you know her, to stop by 1307 and wish her a farewell. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Ager, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask it to be read its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted, on this occasion of International Women's Day, I think it's really fitting that we recognize a woman from my home county in Buncombe County, who broke barriers here in this body. Representative Marie Colton was elected to the General Assembly in 1978 and went on to serve 8 consecutive sessions in the House. In 1991, she was elected as the first female speaker pro tempore. So, she worked hard on behalf of the people of Buncombe County and the state and promoting women's rights, children's issues, health, education, the environment, conservation, especially out in Western North Carolina. After finishing up her time here, she went on to serve on the UN Commission on the Status of Women and as a U.S. observer to the 1994 session of UNESCO in Paris, and then to give talks around the world at embassies on women in as legislators. So, on this day, I just think it's fitting that we honor her. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose the gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Pirtle, rise?
An announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The State Personnel Committee scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled. We will reschedule.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Price, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise having submitted a representative statement with the clerk. I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you. In 1987, the U.S. Congress declared March as Women's History Month, and today, March 8th, is regarded globally as International Women's Day. This month and this day are so designated in celebration of the women here in North Carolina and around the world who have changed the course of history with her story, and in recognition of the women who are charting the future trajectory of civilization. Throughout history, women of every class, race, ethnicity, culture, creed, and age have made significant contributions to the development and strength of their communities. We have constituted a major part of the labor force, served in the armed forces, become business leaders, and won elections to public office at every level of government. And for decades, we've been part of every movement seeking to create a more just and fair society for all. And just for this body, as an example, here in North Carolina, with this assembly, Lillian Exum Clement was the first woman to be elected to the North Carolina General Assembly, serving in the House of Commons from 1921 to 1923. Another example was Jean Hopkins Lucas, whom some of you may have served with, who was the first African-American and woman of color to serve in the North Carolina General Assembly, holding a seat in the Senate from 1993 to 2003. In closing, women have dared to transcend preconceived expectations, and we have proven ourselves capable. I therefore request that this body duly acknowledge Women's History Month and International Women's Day, and I say to my women colleagues, please walk in your power. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, rise?
To make an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
I know everybody's going to be excited to head home tonight, watch some ACC basketball, but I will remind you that tomorrow morning, 7:45, we do have breakfast with the Early Childhood Caucus. We would ask that you come and join us. We've got advocates coming from around the state. We have Jim Hansen, Regional President of PNC Bank and President of the Greater Raleigh Chamber of Commerce joining us, as well as Gary Salamito from the North Carolina Chamber and other folks. We would ask for you to think about sticking around and joining us tomorrow morning, room 1425 at 7:45. Thank you.
And members of the chair, also figure we actually have some, we have a woman who's serving in our house now who actually has made history as being the youngest woman ever elected, who also had young children, and that was Representative Cotham, in fact. So another trailblazer. Good to have you with us as well. Any further? No, absolutely. For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The East Carolina Caucus, I believe is what we're calling it, will be meeting tomorrow in Jimmy Dixon's conference room, 10:30 a.m. This is any representative that is east of I-95. We're trying to bring them together and work on common causes.
Representative Kidwell, there were some who said that east of I-77 is eastern North Carolina. I don't know if that's true. I just heard some members saying that. But Representative Potts is going to bring y'all some barbecue when y'all have that meeting. Any further notices or announcements before I get something started there? I saw Representative Dixon looking at me at that point. Members, just a reminder, let me go through the schedule one more time for members' planning purposes. There will be no votes tomorrow in light of the length of your week that we've had. And I got to say, I don't know how many of you have seen this. We sent an email out last week. I believe the clerk can correct me. I think in terms of bills that have passed third reading, this is the most productive session of this date in however many years, a long time. So in 2013 is the last time we've even came close to this. So it's actually been a very productive session, and something that I think that's been very, that we've tried to do to be sensitive to everyone's schedules where members can be in the district, of course, is to not require members to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every week if it's not required. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you, because I know there's been good participation in the committees. There's been a lot of involvement, a lot of engagement, a lot of transparency, a lot of discussion, and a lot of thoughtful debate and work on the bills. And I think this is turned out to be, the data shows a very productive session in terms of what's getting done. But for planning purposes, members, there will be no votes tomorrow. And so the next day that we would be looking at votes will be Wednesday of next week. Members should, however, anticipate that probably will be a very crowded day with bills. And then also that members should plan to have votes on Thursday of next week with a very robust committee schedule on Tuesday. So members who, if you see your committee's notice, please plan to be here on Tuesday. One other note you may have seen, we sent a press release out earlier today. We did reach a spend number with the Senate on the budget to move forward. So for those who have not been here too awful long, that issue alone is something that has kept us here until the leaves are turning and the leaves are falling off the trees in the past. So that's a good sign that here we are at the beginning of March that we've already resolved that. So the good news is things are moving in a very expeditious manner, and we intend to have our budget passed out of the House prior to the Easter recess. That would allow us, with the Senate schedule, for them to act and get back, for us to be able to adjourn well before the end of the fiscal year in June. So that may be the first time that's happened in a very, very long time. So again, a lot of things could still go wrong between now and then, but at least right now things are going in the right direction. So looks like, again, no votes until Wednesday of next week. Any further notices, announcements in light of that announcement? For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
For announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will have ethics training on Wednesday morning at 8:30. So just go ahead and prepare for that. I can see the excitement in your eyes. But that is mandatory ethics training. And so that will be, notices will be sent to you, but it'll be Wednesday morning at 8:30. That is a.m., not p.m., 8:30 a.m. So look forward to seeing everybody bright and early.
For what purpose does he just became the most unpopular majority leader in history all of a sudden there. For what purpose does the gentleman from Scythe, Rivers, and Lambeth rise?
For announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Since we are planning and talking about schedules for the next several weeks, on the 30th of March, which is a Thursday, and I didn't particularly want to do this on a Thursday, but we're on a very tight schedule, we are planning our all-day appropriations meeting in which we do the amendments to get our budget done. We need to get it done, lock in the numbers before the weekends,
so the staff can get it ready to go the following week. So as you're thinking about your schedule and your personal schedule, March 30th will be a long day as we work through the details of the budget. So make that note, and everyone on appropriations, be here and have fun that day.
And members, before we adjourn, we do have a special guest with us today that I want to recognize, and someone who's become a good friend personally, but a great friend of this state and this nation. And that is Sarah Verardo, who is with the Independence Fund. Her husband was seriously injured while fighting for our country in Afghanistan. She took that come back with a mission of doing all she can to help veterans, disabled veterans, and has expanded to so many other causes. You've probably seen her on television, seen her advocacy. We had an amazing event last year where we recognized a number of disabled veteran heroes who came here to this house. It was probably one of the more moving things that I can think of in years past. But these folks work behind the scenes and work out there to help veterans all across this country. I hope you'll join me in welcoming our good friend Sarah Verardo, folks at the Independence Fund. Sarah, glad to have you here today. With that, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Dixon, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
On motion of the chair. On motion of the chair, House Bill 250, short title, Death by Distribution Revisions. That bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary 2 and referred to the Committee on Judiciary 1. The serial referrals to rules counter operations of the House remain. So the bill is on Judiciary 1 and favorable rules. Reading of five representative statements. A representative statement recognizing Women's History Month and observing International Women's Day. Whereas throughout the history of the state of North Carolina and the history of the United States of America, women of every class, race, ethnicity, culture, and age have made significant contributions to the development and strength of the state and the nation in countless ways, both recorded and unrecorded. Whereas women of the state and this nation have played and continue to play critical roles in every sphere of life, including and beyond the roles of parents, homemakers, and teachers. And whereas the women of North Carolina and the United States have constituted a major portion of the labor force, having served in the armed forces, become business leaders, and have been elected to public office at every level of government. And whereas for decades, women have fought to secure the rights of suffrage and equal opportunity and have been instrumental in the abolitionist movement, the emancipation movement, the industrial labor movement, the civil rights movement, and the peace movement seeking to create a more fair and just society for all. And whereas the courage and intelligence women have dared to transcend preconceived expectations and have proven themselves capable of such areas as science, technology, engineering, mathematics, research, medicine, literature, and diplomacy. And whereas Lilium Exum Clement, the first woman to be elected to the North Carolina General Assembly, serving in the House of Commons from 1921 to 1923. And whereas Jeanine Hopkins Lucas was the first African-American woman of color to serve in the North Carolina General Assembly, holding the seat in the Senate from 1993 to 2003. And whereas March 8th is designated as International Women's Day, a day to be celebrated and we celebrate the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women globally. Now, therefore, it is fitting and proper to recognize March 2023 as Women's History Month in celebration of women of the state of North Carolina, and March 8th, 2023 as International Women's Day in acknowledgement of the women of the United States of America and every nation around the world who have changed the course of history with her story and who are charting the future trajectory of civilization. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal this 8th day of March 2023. 2023, submitted to Representative Renee Price, attested to House Clerk James White. Right. A representative statement honoring the life and memory of Terry Holland. Whereas on February 26, 2023, North Carolina lost one of its most beloved native sons in the death of Michael Terrence Terry Holland, who was a native of Clinton. He attended Davidson College, where he earned a bachelor's degree in economics in 1964 and was an outstanding member of the varsity basketball team. He helped the team reach the first top 10 national ranking during his senior year. And whereas after graduation, Terry Holland joined the coaching staff of the men's basketball team at Davidson College, serving as assistant coach and then becoming the head coach in 1969. During his 5-year tenure as head coach, he achieved a record of 92-43 and was named Southern Conference Coach of the Year. And whereas Terry Holland went on to serve as the head coach of the men's basketball team at the University of Virginia from 1974 to 1990. While at Virginia, he led his team's Final Four appearances in 1981 and 1984 and Elite Eight appearances in 1983 and 1989. His teams won 3 consecutive Atlantic Coast Conferences ACC regular session titles between 1981 and 1983, an ACC tournament championship in 1976 and a national invitational tournament championship in 1980, and was named ACC Coach of the Year in 1981 and 1982. After 16 seasons, he left Virginia with a record of 326-173. And whereas after retiring from coaching, Terry Holland became a college administrator, serving as the athletic director at Davidson College from 1990 to 1994, the University of Virginia from 1995 to 2001, and East Carolina University from 2004 to 2013. He was very influential at all 3 universities, especially recruiting staff, reorganizing programs, and improving various facilities. East Carolina University named its state-of-the-art Olympic sports complex in Terry Holland's honor. And whereas Terry Holland was inducted into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame in 2002 and the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame in 2003, and whereas during a long and successful career, Terry Holland set a high standard of personal conduct, acting always with integrity, selflessness, and loyalty, and earned him admiration and respect from all who knew him. Now, therefore, it is fitting to honor the life and memory of Michael Terrence Terry Holland for the contributions he made to basketball as a player and coach and impact he made on the public athletic departments at Davidson College, the University of Virginia, East Carolina University, and others as an athletic director. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on this 8th day of March 2023, submitted by Representative Timothy Reeder, attested to House Principal Clerk James White. A representative statement honoring Marie Colton, former member of the House of Representatives. Whereas Marie Jacqueline Walters Colton was a community, state, and national civic leader, legislator, international diplomat, wife, mother, friend, and mentor to many. She was born on October 20th, 1922 in Charlotte and spent most of her life in North Carolina. And whereas Marie Colton attended St. Mary Junior College, now St. Mary's School, and graduated from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where she was a member of Chi Omega Sorority. She furthered her studies in music at Mars Hill College, now University, and whereas Marie Colton served as a codebreaker and translator for the U.S. Army Signal Corps, she was married to Henry Elliott Colton, a naval aviator and mother of four children. And whereas Marie Colton was elected to the General Assembly in 1978 and went on to serve eight consecutive sessions in the House of Representatives, in 1991 she was elected as the first female speaker pro tempore. During her tenure in the House of Representatives, she was worked hard on behalf of the people of Buncombe County and the state, promoting women's and children's issues, health, education and environment, conservation, historic preservation, arts, tourism and tax reform. She was instrumental in bringing the North Carolina Arboretum to Western North Carolina and sponsored legislation to allow midwives to practice legally in the state. And whereas after retiring from the General Assembly, Marie Colton served on the National Governing Board of Common Cause, as well as White House appointee to the UN Commission on the Status of Women as a U.S. observer. And in 1994 session of UNSECO in Paris, France, the U.S. State Department also sent her as a representative and speaker of the 50th anniversary of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. She went on to give talks and training on women's political participation in various American embassies, including Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and Algeria. And whereas Marie Colton served her community in many capacities, she helped start Friendship Force and served as the first local president. She served on boards of Flat Rock Playhouse, Brevard Music Center, Western North Carolina Tomorrow, Board of Visitors of UNC at Chapel Hill, North Carolina World Trade Association, North Carolina Institute of Medicine, Vestry of Trinity Episcopal Church, Canuga, Children's Welfare League, and YWCA. And whereas Marie Colton received numerous awards and recognitions, including the Service Award of the Martin Luther King Jr. Association of Asheville and Buncombe County, and the Order of the Longleaf Pine, both awarded in 2018, as she was also inducted into the North Carolina Society of the North Carolina Women's Hall of Fame. And whereas Marie Colton served as a model for all to follow until her death on September 25th, 2018, and remains a great example of her role that North Carolina women have played in our state, our nation, and around the world. Now, therefore, in recognition of International Women's Business Day, it is fitting to recognize the Honorable Marie Colton, the first woman to serve as the Speaker pro tempore of the North Carolina House of Representatives, in witness whereof the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed on the journal on this 8th day of March 2023, submitted to Representative Ager, attested to House Principal Clerk James White. A representative statement honoring the life and memory of James W. Skills. Honoring the life and memory of James W. Skiles. Whereas James W. Skiles, affectionately known as Big Jim, was an amazing mentor, patriot, dedicated husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. And whereas after graduating from high school, James W. Skiles enlisted in the U.S. Army and served during the Korean War. He was a member of the 2nd Infantry Division. He was promoted to Sergeant First Class and later became a drill instructor. He earned a Silver Star and saved many American lives as a result of his selfless courage. And whereas after his military service, he graduated from Temple College, he became an electrical engineer for IBM, where he worked on the instrumentation panel and guidance control systems that sent the first astronaut to the moon. He retired from the company after 35 years. And whereas James W. Skiles was a lifelong farmer, he owned a farm in Pulaski, Tennessee, where he raised cattle on a 220-acre spread and later relocated to his hometown in Pennsylvania to become a grape grower. And whereas James W. Skiles would always go above and beyond to help make those around him the best that they could be, whether it was lending an extra hand on the farm or providing guidance on life's toughest moments, he was always there. He served as an example of dedication, hard work, and honor. He participated in marathons and ran his last race at the age of 86. And whereas James W. Skiles died February 22, 2023 at the age of 93. Now, therefore, it is fitting to honor the life and memory of James W. Skiles and express appreciation for the service he rendered to our nation. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed on the journal on this 8th day of March 2023. Submitted Representative Kevin Crutchfield, attested to House Principal Clerk James White. And a representative statement congratulating the University of North Carolina Asheville men's basketball team. Whereas on March 5th, 2023, the men's basketball team at the University of North Carolina Asheville, the Bulldogs, rallied from a double-digit second half deficit to beat the Campbell University Camels by a score of 77-73 to win the 2023 Big South Tournament Championship game at the Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte. And whereas the University of North Carolina at Asheville men's basketball team has been a Division I program for 37 years and has been the National Collegiate Athletic Association NCAA tournament four times previously. And whereas winning the Big South tournament title earned the Bulldogs their fifth NCAA tournament appearance, and whereas the Bulldogs have performed remarkably throughout the season, senior forward Drew Prember and head coach Mike Morrell were voted as the 2022-2023 Big South Conference Men Basketball Player of the Year and Coach of the Year, respectively, and whereas the outstanding performance of the Bulldogs has brought special honor, recognition, and publicity to the University of North Carolina at Asheville and the state of North Carolina, now therefore it is fitting to congratulate the University of North Carolina Asheville men's basketball team, the basketball coaching staff, and all those who have participated in the making the victory possible during the Big South Tournament Championship, and to extend best wishes to the Bulldogs in the future games to be played in the National Collegiate Athletic Association Tournament. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed on the journal on this 8th day of March, 2023, submitted Representative Lindsey Prather, attested to House Principal Clerk James White. On motion of the Chair, House Bill 172, short title Sam's Law. Bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations and referred to the Committee on Education, K-12. The serial referrals is stricken. However, serial referrals to the Committee on Appropriations and then to rules are added.